Thank you everyone for staying. My name is Lucy Ngatia from the University of Florida, and I'm working with Dr. Reddy. I'm a postdoc working with Dr. Reddy. So today I'll be talking about the drivers of methanogenesis pathways in subtropical wetlands, and I'm using Florida Everglades as a case study. Methane is one of the greenhouse gases that causes global warming, and the various sources of methane, which are both natural and anthropogenic, and wetland has the greatest contribution of it all. Methane production is mainly produced from the anaerobic decomposition of organic matter. And what happens with methane, once it's produced, it can be oxidized to produce carbon dioxide, which is a good thing because carbon dioxide has lesser effect when it comes to global warming compared to methane. The same methane that is produced can also be released to the atmosphere, and this can happen through diffusion, through the water column. It can also happen through ebullition, and also can be transported through plant parenchyma. Methane production takes place through two pathways, and one of them is hydrogenotrophic pathway, and the second one is acetoclastic pathway. However, we know very little about what really drives the two pathways. And so our question is, does the organic matter quality influence methanogenesis pathways in the subtropical wetlands? So we conducted our study in Florida, specifically in the Everglades, and this was in WCA 2A, which is Water Conservation Area 2A. And we did this work along a nutrient gradient with more eutrophic sites on the northern side, which is commonly known as F1. And this site is dominated by cattail. We also worked in the more oligotrophic site, which again is divided into two. We have the slough, and the slough is mainly dominated by nymphaea, and it's pretty much like open water, but there's some nymphaea and also which dominates the site. And also we have the ridges, and the ridges, we commonly call them the U3 ridge, and then they're dominated by saw grass. So we did sampling in each of these sites, and we sampled, we used cores and sampled from 0 to 40 centimeters depth, and then we sectioned our soils into 0 to 5 centimeters, 5 to 10 centimeters, 20 to 30 centimeters, and 30 to 40 centimeters. And basically what we were doing, we were using these depths as a surrogate for organic matter quality. We took 3 replicates in every site, and each replicate was a composite sample. We then went ahead and made slurries and made lab incubations. These were anaerobic incubations. And our experiment looked something like this. We had 3 replications for each depth, and then in this first set, we had 2 sets of the treatments. The first set, we added methyl fluoride, and the reason for adding methyl fluoride was to inhibit the acetoclastic pathway, and we used 2% of methyl fluoride, 2% of the headspace for methyl fluoride, and the assumption was once we inhibited the acetoclastic pathway, then we had hydrogenotrophic pathway going on. The second treatment is where we added nothing. We just had anaerobic incubation, And so here what we expected was both hydrogenotrophic and acetoclastic pathways will be going on at the same time. And so the difference between no inhibition, where we have no methyl fluoride added, and where we have inhibition, inhibiting acetoclastic pathway, the difference between the two would give us the acetoclastic methane production. We went ahead, we determined the biogeochemical parameters. We also did weekly carbon dioxide and methane measurements. And also at the end of the experiment, we determined the methane and carbon dioxide stable isotopes. And also we used carbon 13 NMR to determine the lability and the recalcitrance of the organic matter. For carbon quality, we saw both microbial biomass carbon and microbial biomass nitrogen were increasing, were decreasing with increasing depth. But the dissolved organic carbon and carbon phosphorus ratio were increasing with increasing depth of the soils. For NMR carbon, we had increasing alkale down the profile in all the three sites, and alkale is the most recalcitrant carbon. We also had an increasing trend for alkale or alkale ratio, which is the humification index. And then we had aromatic carbon increasing down the profile, both in U3 SLU and U3 REACH, but not in F1. For methane production, we had a decreased methane production as the depth increased, which we expected. And also our results indicated that we had acetoclastic methanogenesis dominating in F1 and U3 SLU in 5 to 10 centimeter depths. For organic matter, for the stable isotopes, the carbon dioxide C13 were more enriched compared to C13 of the organic matter. And this really indicates that some of the CO2 is really coming from methane production. The other thing that we noted was the carbon dioxide C13 were more enriched at the top compared to the deeper layers, and this was consistent with a gradient in methane production, where we found more methane production at the top and lesser methane production down the profile for all the sites. The acetoclastic methane production was decreasing with an increasing alkale or alkale ratio, which is the humification index, indicating that the recalcitrance of the organic matter is negatively affecting the acetoclastic methane production. And for the acetoclastic methane production, again, it was negatively and significantly influenced by alkale carbon, which is the most recalcitrant carbon. But when you look at the hydrogenotrophic methane production, we see this is not, the decrease is not significant. Again, suggesting that acetoclastic is negatively being affected, but not so much for the hydrogenotrophic pathway being affected by the alkale carbon. Again, acetoclastic methanogenesis is negatively being affected by aromatic carbon, that is in U3 REACH and also in U3 SLU, but not so, we have a totally opposite trend for F1 site. And what we thought, which we think should be subjected to further research, we think that possibly the oxygen availability in this site could be influencing the activity of obligate aerobic lignin decomposing fungi. We didn't do that type of work, but then that's a suggestion that that's something we have in mind and possibly will need further research. In conclusion, methane production decreased with decreasing microbial biomass carbon and also microbial biomass nitrogen. And also methane production decreased with increasing alkale and also with increasing humification index. And carbon dioxide C13 were more depleted in deeper depths, indicating that in deeper depths, lesser CO2 was coming from methanogenesis. And acetoclastic methanogenesis decreased with increasing alkale carbon and alkale or alkale ratio. And organic matter recalcitrant seems to be facilitating hydrogenotrophic pathway over acetoclastic pathway. And hence, changes in organic matter quality is likely to shift the dominant methanogenesis pathway and influence methane production. This work was funded by NSF, and I also want to acknowledge my co-authors who have been working so hard for us to get where we've gotten so far. And with that, I can take questions.
Thank you. We do have time for a question or two. Any questions?
I say that let me show. I say that the signatures indicate whether CO2 is coming from methanogenesis or is coming from other non-fractionating sources. So when we have CO2 signatures that are more enriched than the organic matter signatures, it indicates that methane is coming from methanogenesis. But if we have signatures that are similar to the organic matter, then carbon dioxide is coming from other sources but not methanogenesis.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks again. Thank you.